Okay, can I have your attention? This is a seminar on evangelistic socials, retreats, and Bible studies. And let's start with a word of prayer. As kind of a general definition of what this seminar is all about, when we talk about evangelistic socials, retreats, and Bible studies, we're generally saying that the purpose behind them is to, behind these gatherings or meetings or encampments or whatever you want to call them, is to expose non-Christian young people to the claims of Jesus Christ and to deepen the faith of those who are already Christians. So that's a very general, non-specific thing, but that'll kind of fit in for all three things that we're going to share. Now, what we're sharing tonight is really a condensation of material from three seminars previously given, and also from some materials that are available that you can get on these three topics. And these are available in the bookstore, but the Joel Explosion Evangelistic Bible Studies, which I prepared, and the Joel Explosion Evangelistic Socials, which Steve Cloud and Lynn Bates prepared, and Don Moy is going to share some things about that. He worked with Steve on this type of thing for a year, and so he's going to share on that aspect of it. The other item that this seminar is going to cover is Joy Explosion Retreat, and Jim Temples is going to share about that aspect of these different things that we're going to talk about tonight. So, what we're going to kind of do is I've asked these other guys to help me in this seminar because I feel they're strong in these other areas and have had some experiences that I haven't had. All of you I know have had experiences, and what we're going to do is each of us make about a 10 to 15 minute presentation of our segment, and we're bring out the important points out of the materials and out of our own experience, and then we'll open up the end for questions and comments from you about these different things or anything you might have a question on. So hold your questions till the end if you could, so we can make sure we get all of us a good enough time to share what we'd like to share. Okay? Let's see. Don? Go ahead. Don Moy, he's a minister of music and youth at First Baptist Church of Idalia. He worked for a year on the staff at First Church Winter Park, Florida, as a reach-out intern. And there is where a lot of these ideas were developed on the evangelistic socials.
Okay, and this is the manual that I'll be taking most of what I'm sharing from. The purpose, as Hank already shared with you, was to minister to lost people and to strengthen the body of believers that we're already working with. Probably one of the funnest ways to do that is through evangelistic socials. I get the fun part of the presentation. So you can be so creative and imaginative in what you provide for your kids to do. The idea is to provide good fun for Christians and their friends, non-Christians, who will not be threatened, who are normally threatened when you invite them to come to a church building. So the evangelistic social is meant to be outside of the organized structure of the building. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a social inside, but it's to provide an environment for the non-believer that will not threaten him, will provide an opportunity for him to see Christians having clean, good, wholesome fun. Your Christian kids, your young people, can bring their friends to something like that with ease because they realize it's not going to be a threatening environment to the person. So that's really important. I'm going to deal with some basic points about preparation for an evangelistic social. One of the first things that you need to do in preparing for social is to realize where you are and what facilities you have for you. If you live on a beach, you've got beach facilities, or if you're near a beach. If you live near the mountains, you've got ski facilities, snow skiing facilities. Find out what your resources are. Go to the Chamber of Commerce. Ask them what resources exist in your area. Explore all kinds of possibilities. There are all kinds of things you can do. State parks are great, amusement sites. Look into all kinds of possible things there. Look at what your kids are doing now. Find out what they're interested in. Maybe you can structure something that will complement some of the things that they're excited about, that they're interested in. A 50s party or something, you know, with the Fonz on TV. That's one of the high interests at this time. You know, just be sensitive to where your kids are, what's going on. an evangelistic social depends on your ministry, may be geared toward one particular age group, like a junior high age group evangelistic social. Maybe you want one for a college age group. Maybe you're doing a combined social, but consider the age group that's involved. What are these kids that are the sophisticated kind of kid? You can't minister to them the same way you could the country kid, you know? So evaluate where your kids are, just their environment and what the real desire you have in that ministry. The atmosphere needs to be one that's conducive to sharing Christ. You can't take them to a hellish point and try to share Christ with them. So make sure in preparing this that you're getting an environment that you can control at some point. You do want to share Jesus Christ. The most important principle behind evangelistic social is that you're exposing them to the gospel of Christ in a fun way. But make sure you're gearing toward that. Build an expectant attitude. You need to build excitement, and we'll deal more with most of these later on. You can't have a Hawaiian luau in the middle of winter. So just in your preparation, consider the weather and what kinds of things you need to involve in that. The keys to a successful evangelistic social begin with, number one, planning. You've got to begin, have most of your plans finalized by 3 weeks ahead of time. Evangelistic social is a lot of work. There's no way to get around evangelistic social easily. They take a lot of preparation. They involve a lot of people. They're key times. These are the biggie things that appeal to the community. They're the publicity-oriented things, the things that the whole town begins to talk about. And later on, I'll share some specifics about Vidalia and Winter Park and just some of those things. But make them biggies. Make them important events. And to do that, you've got to have the planning involved. They also, number two, need a unique quality. It needs to be something different, like the world's longest banana split or the world's largest banana split or a popsicle that weighs 300 pounds or some creative thing that's different, a bike-a-thon, just something that will create interest, that will be a different idea. Let me give you a resource book that will be of tremendous help to you. It's called Ideas. It's printed by Youth Specialties. The address is 861 6th Avenue, San Diego, California. We'll have that available for you later if you want to get that. But they give you all kinds of ideas in their sequence of books. That's all it is. And can be a good resource for you. Use discretion in what you're playing, what you're planning. Your desire is not to trick people into hearing the gospel of Christ. So don't use any false claims or you're trying to put the gospel of Christ in a fun environment. No bones about it. Let them know you're going to be sharing some spiritual things. Don't use it as a trickery thing. You get here and you bribe them with a popsicle and, they're in. That's not our point. So let them know what's going on. The third thing, you're planning, you have a unique quality involved, you've got participation. The participation is involving your group, your youth council. If you have a youth council, you have a core of adults that are committed to youth ministries, you have Sunday school classes. You involve the people you've got to be involved. If you've got a discipleship group, you may want them to take on a responsibility for an evangelistic social, planning that social. Involve them for several reasons. You get them excited about it. They're sharing word of mouth from the beginning. They're making it a matter of prayer as a burden for their own personal ministry. The atmosphere, as I mentioned before, is so important, and that atmosphere needs to communicate to those non-Christian people. We care about your life. We're concerned about you. We're glad you're here, but we love you. We care about your life. Need to have counselors. So the fourth thing was the atmosphere. The fifth thing is that you are providing sharers, counselors. An interesting way to do that may be some training things on your own. You begin to train some youth in how to share their faith, some counseling things. Need to have a program that's smooth, that's simple, that's concise, that's going to flow right through. You may have some group singing. Need to have a time of fellowship, grouping, greeting one another, getting to know one another. One of the most important elements on evangelistic social is a small group encounter where you break up into groups of 4 to 8 people. You have a strong group leader. A small group will not work unless you've got a good leader who can share his faith with those kids. is not a preaching time. It's a sharing time, much like what you're doing with leadership families. That's a key in ministry. One reason that's a key, you can identify more effectively the group that you've got. You've got a group leader who's exposed to 4 to 8 people. He can immediately say, Johnny is not a Christian. I need to get a handle on Johnny's life. Maybe I can single him out later on tonight and we can have a one-on-one relationship. I can share with him personally. So the small group encounter is so important. With small group questions, you need to start with things that are not threatening. Things like, where were you born? What's your favorite hobby? The lighter kinds of questions that will allow everybody to participate in a non-inhibitive way. Then get on to the more personal questions. When did Christ become more than a word to you? Some questions that ask about the personal relationship of Jesus Christ. This resource book has some suggestions there about all of these things. It'll be helpful to you later on, I think. Make sure in that program that you have the gospel presented, that there's a speaker. You've got somebody sharing the claims of Christ. Have a time of decision so that the kids that are there have an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Christ. Now, if you're having decision time, you've got a speaker, you've got to have counselors who are available to work with those kids, to share with those kids specific things. An important element is to provide, even if you ate a meal first, to provide a refreshment time at the end. That's important because you give opportunity for your young people who have been trained in sharing their faith to single out those people that they need to follow up, to single out the kids that they noticed maybe during the service who are really under conviction, who are really battling with some things, or to spend some time counseling with kids who have made decisions. So that's a real important element. You provide a flexible environment in that. The first way to start an evangelistic social is to get your goals, the responsibilities that you've got, do some planning in that. Know the people that you want to get involved in that. We talked briefly about that, about involving the youth council. There's a witnessing training course that we have called WOW. You may want to train your youth in sharing their faith with that kind of course. And then climax it with an evangelistic social. And they get to practice right there what they've already been learning as kids are coming in and they're being exposed to things. Retreat may be a good time to train your kids in witnessing, in being a small group leader, in presenting the gospel of Christ, in sharing their testimony, giving a personal testimony. There's a good outline in this book concerning how to prepare a personal testimony. What are some guidelines? How do I teach a person how to give a personal testimony? Good things here. I hope you'll invest in this. Take that home with you. Your planning will include just factual things like the cost. How much is this thing going to cost me? When am I going to have it? You'll wipe out if you plan it and it's homecoming at the high school or there's a wrestling match or something that all the kids are committed to. So make sure you clear your calendar with the social calendar of the school. My school doesn't have a calendar, so I have to battle through all kinds of clubs to find out what's going on. But if I don't do that, I wipe out and invite everybody. So I've got to know when the kids are available and work toward that. As a minister, you cannot prepare an evangelistic social unless you delegate responsibilities. There's all kinds of busy work to be done. In that delegation, you need to have report times where the kids that you've assigned responsibilities will come back to you, will report on what they've done, what they have not done. Make sure that you set a 3-week deadline prior to, so that all the chores that are possible can be done 3 weeks ahead of time. And then you've got those 3 weeks to finish final details, things like that. Let me just share some things about the evangelistic socials that I've had. I think that'll be most helpful. One of the things I've done in Vidalia was the world's largest mass split. Ours was not the world's largest, and according to the Guinness World Book of Records, it's 1 mile long. Ours was not that long. It was 52 yards long. We had a banana split in the football field. I began several weeks in advance trying to plan this thing. I involved the coaches, the football team, the cheerleaders, the band. They were all plugged in originally and committed to be there as a part of what was going on, just to involve the student body. This happened on the first day of school and the second day of school, when they came back to school. It was a welcome back to school kind of evangelistic social. The point for our ministry was to get a list of prospects that we could follow up on and also expose them with the gospel of Christ. We had a singing group come in, and they presented the claims of Christ in a singing kind of manner. The banana split was real interesting. We used gutter tubing, lined it with tinfoil. It was out in the middle of the football field. The ice cream man who sold ice cream all summer carried the ice cream to us. We involved the coaches in splitting the ice cream and putting it in the troughs after the football players and the cheerleaders and a representative from every class split the bananas and put those in the troughs. You know, and here were all these kids out there on their knees eating out of a hog trough and the banana split. But it was a fun time. And a lot of non-Christian kids, a lot of people I'd never seen before, were there. They were there because it was a fun event. Some of the things we did for publicity, Vidalia has all these underpasses for the railroads, and we draped sheets across with the sign on it, you know, across the streets. Vidalia has one main street called the Strip, and you can't drive up and down the Strip without reading those overhead signs. So that was a good way of communicating for us. It was a possible way. Some of the things we did in Winter Park, just briefly I'll share about one of the funnest things we did was the Hawaiian Luau. It was a little island out in the middle of this lake in Maitland, Florida. And we'd go out there and we'd spend a couple of days cleaning up that island and getting it ready, giving it a Hawaiian kind of flavor. Girls would make paper flowers, and ladies would do fruit arrangements on tables and just make the thing really pretty. And one essential thing that I left out that I need to really touch on is the aspect of greeters. In determining your atmosphere for the social, one of the first ways and most effective ways you can set a stage for something is to have greeters at every entrance. Now, with the luau, these greeters gave everybody a lay. So you had a guy and a girl, a couple greeter, at every possible entrance into the island kind of thing. We boated the kids over. They were greeted immediately with, "I sure am glad you're here, and I trust God's going to share some really neat things with you tonight." And a greeter begins already to set a stage for what's going on and preparing their hearts. There were also counselors stationed throughout the island who were there to single out people and share their faith. A speaker was there and was committed. We had small group times. All of these things were involved. A pig was being roasted. You know, they served a buried pig. And we ate. We had fellowship. And God blessed that time. Another important element is that you allow yourself to get a follow-up record of those people so that at one point during the service, you're handing out a card to every person there so that you get name, address, the card can have a place for a decision that's made so that you know those that made decisions, but you know those people who were there and can follow up those people. We'll deal with questions later on. Let me go on. Okay? Yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
I'm going to be talking about evangelistic Bible studies. I have been working with things like this from when I was in seminary, and we were leading a volunteer high school ministry in Louisville. That was starting in 71. And an evangelistic Bible study can deal with anything from two or three people to hundreds of people if you're gifted enough to do something like that. But basically, an evangelistic Bible study is a variation off the joy explosion type meeting that you'll be talking about in your leadership family groups this week, the joy explosion. And the evangelistic Bible study is just a little bit different type of thing that you can do with a weekly meeting, a weekly Bible study with young people in your community. Let me just say a bit about the philosophy behind an evangelistic Bible study. One thing that you must be convinced of, and for the Bible study really to have any effect at all, is that the Bible is actually the Word of God, and that this Word of God does have power when received in the power of the Holy Spirit to change people's lives. Because if you're just seeing a Bible study as another activity you can do, or because we're a Christian group we do Bible studies, then the power is quite a bit taken out of that. But as the Word of God has really gripped your life, and it's transforming your life, and you can see that how it's going to change people's lives, then you can begin using this type of approach to Bible study and leading people in Bible study, and it is a more valid approach to it. So you must be convinced that the Bible is the Word of God and that it does have the power to bring people to Christ. Another kind of basic in philosophy that you need to understand is that the Bible, and especially the New Testament, as I kind of analyzed this when I was trying to get a philosophy together on evangelistic Bible studies, the Bible is basically an evangelistic book. And I mentioned especially the New Testament. We see John saying that he wrote these things so that many would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You see Mark saying, beginning says, at the start of the book says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and goes up into the 15th chapter where the Roman guard is saying, surely this man is the Son of God. And almost like Mark's whole purpose in writing the gospel there was to bring everybody to the same conclusion that surely this man, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. See Luke saying, I've put these things together so that you, Theophilus, could know the exact truth about Jesus Christ and who he is. And in a sense, all the letters of the New Testament are follow-up letters, where Paul and or these other apostles have done work, and they're following up on their work that they've done. So it's a tremendous resource book for evangelistic talks, evangelistic subjects, or whatever you want to call it. And I think it's a very valid reason and very valid approach to an evangelistic type meeting of just doing a Bible study together with young people. Now, let me mention just something about a definition, if you want to have a definition of evangelistic Bible study. And I wrote this 3 years ago, and I've changed my mind a little bit on it. So let me tell you what my changing of thought on this. The definition I have here is that an evangelistic Bible study is an informal Bible study designed primarily for the purpose of leading non-Christians to faith in Jesus Christ and secondarily to helping young Christians grow. My significant departure from that is that you cannot really design a Bible study where you want your young people actively involved in bringing people to that is not directly meeting their needs. In other words, what I had done in the past and many times was design a Bible study at the level of a non-Christian to where, you know, any non-Christian could understand and the gospel was presented and, you know, they could come to know Christ through that. But what I was finding was my Christian kids weren't that interested in committing themselves to be there week after week after week to hear basically the same type of message and the same approach and the same depth level. And they weren't excited about bringing their non-Christian friends because they weren't excited about being there themselves. So I really see you can still be evangelistic in your approach to Bible study, yet be dealing with some very deep truths of the Scripture. And you need to be doing that because you need to be feeding your own young people that are going to be working with you. And you're expecting them to bring people to that meeting. And if they're not excited about being there, they're not going to bring people. So I would say it at least needs to be a 50-50 thing of gearing it to non-Christians and to your Christian kids. So as you prepare and as you think about this, think about your Christian students. And the evangelistic part of it can come in just maybe in the end sharing how a person can come to know Christ, or all the way through it just kind of interjecting things about becoming a Christian. But you need to be feeding your own young people and dealing on an in-depth level with them. And so it's real necessary to take that into account. Another thing that I said in the book that I changed my mind on, I don't know if that's saying I was wrong or I've grown or I've regressed or whatever it is, but anyway, I mentioned in there about the need to have maybe a 50-50 division of presence of non-Christians to Christians, but that is very idealistic in expecting our young people to bring that many non-Christians, or it's very idealistic in expecting that they're going to come, not that many non-Christians are going to come to our meetings. Plus the fact that for an atmosphere to be distinctly Christian, you're going to need a good, solid core and a large majority of Christians there. Just that the whole spirit would be one of there to learn and gain from the Word. And the whole spirit of the place needs to be that of being Christian. So if you have an overwhelming number of non-Christians there, it's going to be very difficult to have that. We had a situation in Macon over the last couple of years, which we've differed our approach in, but we have an activities building, and we basically had our Bible study in connection with some recreation. Well, we were having 70-80% non-Christians at the meeting. And they said, "Wow, that's great." Well, we weren't seeing that much results from it as far as reaching these kids, because they're there mainly for the recreation. They're not there to hear me lead a Bible study. They put up with it. But the atmosphere wasn't distinctly Christian. And so you really need to remember that. I think you do need a larger segment of Christians and non-Christians in your meeting. Okay, preparation for Bible, for evangelistic Bible study. When do you start leading one? How do you go about it? And when are you ready? And when is the group ready? I think to be personally prepared for Bible, or for leading an evangelistic Bible study, I think relates a little bit to what Max was sharing this morning. The Bible must be teaching you personally. If you are not daily gaining from the Scriptures and learning, and the Scriptures are meaning a great deal to you, then when you get up to speak and lead and teach a Bible study, the kids are going to know that this is not really that meaningful to you, that you're doing it maybe out of, well, that's what we're supposed to do, or out of duty, or out of that we planned it. But if they can see, if you share and says, "Look, this morning I was reading the Word, and here is what is the fruit of what I learned. Or last week I was studying, God just taught me this, and He just brought this to my mind, and here, and I just want to share this with you." Or, you know, you're leading a Bible study, maybe on a topical, or going through a book, Gospel of John, or something like that, and you can say, you know, the first time this verse grabbed me and really took hold in my life was maybe 2 years ago, and I have really learned from that. Well, now, as your kids and the people and the non-Christians see that this book is not just an academic study or talk you prepared, but it's something that is gripping your life, then it's going to have meaning. So don't get into doing an evangelistic Bible study or a Bible study in any sense until the Word of God is really gripping you and teaching you. And it is incumbent upon you to teach that to others and share what you've learned. Now, when your group is ready to do an evangelistic Bible study, or really any large group meeting, Joy Explosion or whatever, you really need to have some kids that you are discipling, a core of young people, that you can depend on, that they're going to bring their non-Christian friends, they're going to be there, they're going to be supporting it in prayer, they're going to be there to greet people, as Don was talking about, the socials, and be there afterwards to counsel, or just to be friendly to folks. You need a core of people that are going to support you in this, and work with you, and work for you in this evangelistic Bible study. Now, one variation off that, I heard, and I failed to recall who was on this tape that I heard, but somebody took a different approach to his youth ministry. Rather than starting with a core of committed, he liked to start with the bunch. And if you could gather, you know, a whole big group of halfway committed kids, and then out of your experience of Bible study with them, some rise to the top, so to say, the cream rises, so you can identify who are some of the disciples or potential disciples in that group, and then begin discipling them. That's a possibility. You can start your evangelistic Bible study without any preparation with your young people and just trying to get them to come. But you'll find by the ones who continue to come back, who are asking the questions, who are responding, let's say, in a comment card in a significant way or something like that, then maybe you can follow up with them and to get them into a discipleship group. So you can really go either way, although I really see a valid need for having some good, strong young people behind you when you get started. All right, the format. What I'm talking about, evangelistic Bible study. Very similar to our Joy Explosion. Very similar. You want an informal atmosphere. And the reason is because if you really want to be evangelistic and that you're reaching non-Christian kids, you need to have a a place and a format and a style of meeting that is not offensive to the non-Christian student. Now, this varies according to city, the city and culture and where you are, exactly what that could be. I don't have a hard time interpreting that. I'm in the Deep South. Very few kids have hang-ups about going to a church or being in a church building. Very few. I've worked up in inner city of New York and in New Jersey, and it's very difficult to get kids inside a church. So you find a neutral spot. So one of the kids' homes, your own home. A home is a real good spot to have a Bible study because it's very informal, and it's not offensive, and it's not going to church, you know. So many times, even when we're having the Bible study in the gym, some people count this as going to church. You know, they go to church once a week. Well, they go to the gym that is owned by the church. They really aren't going to church services and worshiping, but they're going to church. Well, this is not going to church. And so it changes the whole atmosphere just a little bit by your whole attitude of how you're coming to it. You can choose any night of the week you want to. It might be best, you know, to have it like on Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday night. We have just switched ours to doing it on Wednesday night. And I know a lot of people do it that way, doing it on Wednesday night, because you've got a lot of activities already at the church. You've got a core of kids already there. And you can work in some type of plan to work that into the Wednesday night activities, perhaps. I'm finding out it's working out real well. And another thing, you're not demanding so much of your kids to be there on Wednesday night and Thursday night and Monday night visitation and all this stuff. You can combine a whole night long of things and rather than a whole bunch of different stuff. In choosing a place to have it, you need to fit the size of the room to the crowd you expect to have or you start to have. Don't start in the church sanctuary if you're really expecting about five or six kids. You know, that's look like it's really overrun. But if you're only expecting five or six, 10 kids, you know, maybe have it in your living room if you have a small living room, or somebody has a real small living room. You know, so it's almost like you have a crowded feeling. You know, gosh, everybody was there. You know, there's only 10 kids. Whereas you took those 10 and put them in a room the size of the auditorium downstairs, you're like, gosh, nobody was there. It was really dull. And the same thing, any size you got, like the effect of this room, having people stand up, you know, in the hall, it's really, you know, gosh, everybody came to our seminar, you know. But if we had a seminar downstairs, it looked like hardly anybody came to it, you know. And so that's a type of the attitude you want to portray. And start with a smaller type thing, and if you need to move to something larger, wait till you're busting out of it before you move somewhere else. But try, work very hard on getting something that is small enough to get the whole group together and to have kind of a togetherness. Maybe if you have some room like this that has louvered doors that you can close, you know, and if you need to open them up, then open them up. Or somebody's house that has a living room and a dining room connected, and you can work in the living room, and then as you get overcrowded, you can go into the dining room or whatever. One thing that we have used, are beginning to use a little bit more effectively, and others have used it in Winter Park very good, called Bring Them Back Alive. And it comes out of a program to bring people back alive on holiday weekends. But the idea is going out visiting young people before the Bible study or the joy explosion or whatever, and bringing them back alive to the Bible study. Now, you really need to plan ahead on that and prepare. Get kids called ahead of time. Prepare to go pick them up. They're expecting you to be there, and so you're going to be there and pick them up and bring them to the Bible study. We haven't had a whole bunch of success in just popping in on them and say, look, we're going to the Bible study. You want to come with us. But if you call ahead of time, like on Monday or Tuesday night, if you have it on Wednesday night, and they're expecting you to be there, and you line up with them, and you go there and pick them up and bring them to the Bible study or joy explosion, whatever you're doing. Okay, real briefly on presentation when you're leading an evangelistic Bible study. Now, you want to make it relevant to their lives, where they are. You don't want to get bogged down in a lot of archaeological detail and stuff like that that's really not relevant to them. It might be very important to the interpretation of the passage, and you need to deal with that. But maybe you don't need to bog them down in what you're doing. But it needs to be relevant. It needs to be alive. There has to be life and what you're presenting, and that this Word of God is life to you, and that it could be life to them. You can liven this up with illustrations, stories. how this passage came to mean so much to you. Role plays, you can get a kit, some kids to make a skit for you. You know, things like that. You can bring life to the Bible study. I personally like to use a lot of questions and dialogue, and even with a group this size. Now, it's difficult sometimes, but you need to draw kids out and ask them specific things. There's a couple resources that I found helpful in as I've learned to do this. One is called Neighborhood Bible Studies. That let's see, out of Dobbs Ferry, New York. Let's see if I got it. I think I got the address in here somewhere. But that has a lot of good questions for you to use, and it's what it has is a like I'll take the Gospel of Luke or Mark or almost the whole New Testament I think they've done, and gives you questions to ask young people, and or well they're designed for ladies' home Bible studies, but they work great with kids. They work great with adults too. There's some pretty sharp ladies who put them together. Dobbs Ferry, just says Neighborhood Bible Studies, Dobbs Ferry is New York. That's the address. Another one, InterVarsity has a series of devotional books called This Morning with God, and it goes through the whole Bible, and each morning that they have, it's a good devotional book, but it also has like questions on each passage of Scripture, and it's a real good place, the resource, to get some questions for asking kids. Now, if you don't feel comfortable with this type of thing, and maybe you're really gifted as a speaker, I don't feel that gifted as a speaker that I can hold the attention for a half an hour, 45-minute Bible study where I can just, you know, teach the Word like that. I don't think that's one of my gifts. And so that's why I have opted more for this kind of dialogue, question-and-answer type thing. And but if you feel really gifted and, you know, God can use you in speaking and teaching from the Word straight through, well, that's fine. If that's the way God is, you know, is leading you to do that. But going through a Bible study, you might fit. I didn't, you know, Cloud basically answered George Spurgeon's teaching the Bible. Okay. He's a gifted speaker and can do that. I really don't feel confident in that area. Maybe for kind of a variation too is some small groups, breaking them up like Don was talking about this with the socials, but also just getting the kids down in, you know, groups of three or four, and you might have something, a question on the topic that you're dealing with, and have them discuss that, or say, let's see, a couple weeks ago I was doing one on Lordship of Christ, and I had the kids all think, I said, now, think of three things that are demanding to have first place in your life. Give them a few minutes to think. So, okay, now get in groups of three or four and discuss these, share your things, and why you feel these are demanding first place in your life. Now, that got the topic going in their minds. It got exactly what I'm talking about. These things that are demanding school and boyfriends and girlfriends and sororities and clubs and all this junk. You know, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about Lordship of Christ. What's vying for position in your life? Okay, it was just kind of a way of getting the point across and let them, they were the ones that said what's demanding. And so they are going to have to deal with who's Lord, you know, the club or Christ. You can get a lot of ideas on these small groups from the Serendipity series, the Serendipity books put out by Word Books by Lyman Coleman. You can also use these small groups as kind of mixers. Get the kids talking to each other. It's hard to get kids to be friendly. But this is a way to help, you know. Maybe just have them stand up and, you know, find all the people whose middle initial is S, or who has the same middle initial as you do. You know, and just have them milling around looking. They have to talk to ask somebody, you know, what's your middle initial? That's not much, but at least it's starting to interact there. In planning these, plan ahead. Plan a whole series. Maybe you want to have a complete study of the Gospel of John. Okay? How much material are you going to cover each week? What are going to be the passages? So when you come up to prepare that week for that study, you can look at your notes and it says, okay, the second week of November, we're doing John 2, 1 through 11, okay? So you've got your material. I mean, you've got to narrow it down. You don't have to think, what am I going to do this week? You've got what you're going to do that week, and you need to get in preparing it. You might do a series, topical, things like that. Many ideas you can do on what you want to do as far as material, but do plan ahead. Don't come up You know, if you're having a Bible study on Wednesday night and be dealing with it on Wednesday afternoon, what in the world am I going to study? What we're going to do? Lastly, have an opportunity for the people to receive Christ. At least explain how a person can become a Christian. Close maybe with a prayer and allow them, give them an opportunity to pray to receive Christ. If you feel comfortable giving a come forward invitation, that's up to you, however you want to do it. Or maybe you don't want to specifically have a prayer at that point for them to pray to receive Christ, but you want to really encourage them to talk to you about how you become a Christian, and you might do that. Use some type of cards, comment cards, for a record, one, of how to get back in touch with them, to follow them up from their time coming to your Bible study. But also, you might have a comment place there. What did you think of the Bible study? There you can kind of find out some real needs on these kids' lives and what they're, you know, really need, and go and follow them up with some specific things in mind. And if you've given an invitation to pray to receive Christ in their own, in silence there, you might have them put a check or a cross mark, something like that, which indicates that they prayed to receive Christ.